You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is it facts or fiction that in the clutch, you were a better player than LeBron James?
Facts. Facts.
Welcome Paul Pierce into the house. The truth, my homeboy from Inglewood, California. Not far from South Central LA, but a little different. What's up, Paul?
What's up, man?
Nothing.
Man, listen, dog. I grew up in the wood. I always tried to wonder, where is South Central?
Where is
Where is it?
All right.
Like, so when you say South Central, like where?
Okay, so you start basically Western.
Okay.
And go south.
Okay.
All the way to
Western and what?
You can start Western. No, start Western and Jefferson.
What I'm saying?
I'm saying.
But then they say you could be on Crenshaw and Slauson.
No, that's not South Central. I don't know who told you that.
So
if you start Western.
Okay, just Western.
Just start Western.
And what?
In Western and Jefferson.
Okay.
And go south on Western and go all the way up to Century and,
okay,
and make a hard left.
Okay.
And go east.
Okay.
And then.
How far east do it?
I'm about to tell you.
Watts, then, is that South Central?
Yeah, that's basically South Central.
You covering up.
No, it's big. South Central.
So
big.
By USC, is that South Central?
Major.
Major, right?
100%.
Right.
Right. So if you go south all the way down to Imperial,
So did the riots in 95 start in South Central?
The riots, yes. It started on...
That was on Florence.
Normandy and Florence.
That ain't...
Yes, that is. It's South Central.
Western is past Normandy.
Yes.
So you said Western.
No, Paul, man, look, west of Normandy, it's Western.
All right.
No, Inglewood is west of Western.
Yeah.
Inglewood doesn't start till you get to Van Nuys.
Van Nuys?
I mean, Van Nuys.
Inglewood starts
at Van Nuys.
Right, right.
Western right. is east of that.
I mean, I've been my whole
man,
life,
I'm giving
and I'm still,
you, I'm
all
giving
right.
you the geographic all right, landscape.
All right.
And then when you go so far east,
Compton, Long Beach.
Now you start to get into Compton and Long Beach and all them other places. But
right.
you grew up in Inglewood mm-hmm. back in the 90s.
Right.
The Belly Deli on the corner right there on La Brea. Right?
Right.
No,
right.
So I remember all that. What was it like in the 90s growing up in Inglewood?
Man, it's so much different then than now. As you can see, they got the stadiums. It's all gentrified and everything. But, you know, just learning how to navigate my way through. You know how it is growing up in the urban neighborhoods to where you have to navigate the gangs, the territories, going to public school. You know, I took the bus to school. So where I grew up in Inglewood, when I first moved to Inglewood, a lot of people didn't know. I was born in Oakland.
Okay.
I moved to L.A. when I was like 19 years old, and I lived on Normandy and Imperial.
So you was on the east side?
Yeah, I was on the east side for 1 year. And then we moved to Inglewood. So then we moved to like right there by Randy's Donuts. I live right in that area over there.
Okay, so off of the freeway.
Hmm. Yeah, off the freeway in that area. We had an apartment over there. Stayed over there for a couple years. Then we moved to over the other side of Inglewood, Crenshaw and Imperial.
So, okay.
Why
you go to Morningside?
I was supposed to go to Morningside, but all my friends went to Inglewood because I went to junior high at Crozier. So it was just interesting trying to navigate through the wood and just figure out territories and catching a bus here and there and just figure out, you know, who I was going to hang around. And it was very difficult, man. I was on a bus stop where guys was getting out having shootouts. I'm telling you, I just seen guys literally run off the bus shooting at people, man. And I was like, damn, you know, this is where I live at. And so, you know, just to be able to navigate through all of that and stay out of trouble and focus on sports and hang around the right friends was important. And I think kids got to realize the people that you hang around with can really dictate what direction you go in. So, you know, I had friends that was from the neighborhood. And obviously, once I got big into sports, you know, they kind of like kept the pressure off. Because, you know, when you a big dude, I'm big. So they want to put you on in the hood when you big. And then they knew I wasn't no buster.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that's growing up in the world was tough, dude. You had to navigate so many different things that, but it made me who I am today. You know, it made me just tough and stood my ground and just, I didn't take shit from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I stood up for mine and that was it. And I focused that energy in the sports.
Yeah, I'm trying to think in Inglewood, because it really, only gangs I could think of over there was the IFGs, really.
Well, you got the Inglewood families, you got the neighborhood Pyrus.
Well, I mean, all bloods, though. What gangs over there?
Well, in the Crenshaw Imperial area, they had the IVC, Imperial Village.
Yeah, but that's all the way on the back end. All the way over there on the end.
Yeah, that's where I moved to, actually, to Imperial and Crenshaw. They was over there.
Okay.
And so just having to walk, come home, I lived in the Crip neighborhood, so... I'm coming home some days with an Inglewood shirt and they thinking like, hey, you know, where you from, cuz?
So wild, man. That's like it's so wild. Growing up in South Central LA, man, it's the same thing with me. Yes. I played sports in all Crip neighborhood, but I lived in the Blood neighborhood.
Right.
Literally across the street from where I played all the sports at. It just was growing up in South LA.
You have to learn how to navigate that and know where you was at.
Absolutely. So in 95, you was a McDonald's All-American. You played in a game, and that game was stacked. It was you. It was KG, Vince Carter, Steph Marbury, Chauncey Billups, Antoine Jamison.
Yeah.
Like, y'all had some...
Best class all time.
Is it?
Best class all time. Look, you got...
You just named them.
Look what you just named.
You got me, KG, Steph Marbury, Antoine Jamison, Vince Carter, Chauncey Billups.
I didn't even name Ron Mercer. And Sharif.
Man, I think we got the best squad. We was named best McDonald's class all time. Sham God, you know, even guys. I mean, man, we were stacked.
No, I'm looking at it, but I'm thinking of other McDonald's teams.
We got three Hall of Famers.
I'm thinking of other McDonald's teams, though.
I mean, the closest one you can say is probably LeBron with Carmel. I know they're not even in the same class, actually. I don't even know. I can't even think of one.
There's a bunch of dudes on there that was Burger Kings at the end
of
the day.
Yeah, they was Burger King. They weren't McDonald's.
They was Burger Kings.
Yeah, they was Burger King.
And so when you look at that group of players, it had to be by far the best high school talent assembled in one location.
Absolutely. I mean, just you have to look at it like, what did they guys do after high school? When you look at how we advanced to college and how we went to the pros and who ended up doing what, you know, that's how you rate it. And so for me to be in there and be amongst that, you know, being from L.A. and, you know how it is growing up in L.A. They looked at us like we were soft and stuff. So I had to go out there and let them know ain't nothing soft over here. So, you know, I had to represent for Los Angeles. But to be around that collection of guys, to see us from high school to college and play against each other in the pro. And then, you know, me and KG developed a friendship from high school.
Oh, so that's when you recruited him to go to Boston.
Come on, man. We didn't recruit. Man, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. We traded him for him.
Yeah, you recruited him to get in a trade to come to Boston because you needed to get past the Miami Heat and LeBron them or something.
That ain't how it went. That's how they doing it now. LeBron recruited Wade and Bosh. I didn't know KG was coming to the Celtics. We traded for him after we traded for Ray because I thought I was about to get traded that year because we were so weak. We lost. We was the worst team in the league because I got hurt, broke my foot, and I was either trade me or build a team. And we was able to trade for Kevin and Ray, and the rest is history.
You talk about going to college, right? Because I was looking at that, the list. That had to be, I'm just counting y'all money. You know, I don't like counting other people's money, but I'm counting that money. That had to be over $1 billion worth of contracts, man.
That what, the McDonald's?
Yeah, them you dudes got, on the McDonald's.
Got, I mean, the money wasn't up like that. I mean, KG was the first one to sign for $100 million.
Yeah, but he
was one of the first. He got the highest contract.
200 and something million.
He made 200.
Chauncey made a grip. You made a grip. Yeah, so Sharif made good money.
It could have been close to a billion.
Yeah, close to a billion. It was crazy. So That's a little less than what you got to go from L.A. to Kansas. Speaking of money.
I wish I got some money.
You went to Kansas for 3 years.
How much you get at USC?
Man, that's not important right now. You went to Kansas for 3 years. Though. You flew over a lot of schools to play in Kansas. What made that? Roy Williams, right?
Right.
Why that decision? And not stay home and go to UCLA? Or at the time, Cal was kind of popping. USC was trying to get there.
Wasn't right at USC and UCLA. The money wasn't right. I mean, what you want me to say? I'm the number one kid in L.A., and USC and UCLA didn't have the money, so you know I had to go to Kansas.
We really wasn't paying, though. That's true with SC.
You ain't getting no back?
No, we weren't paying.
Reggie Bush got a bag, but you didn't.
No, but Reggie Bush didn't get a bag from the school. Reggie Bush got a bag from the boosters. Outside of people.
The boosters. No, that's where the money come from.
It had nothing to do with our university. Nothing. I swear to you. Nothing to do with the university. Mm. But we didn't have the money. So when you went to Kansas, you had to fly over, let's just say, Arizona, Texas.
Colorado.
None of them schools wasn't good. None of them wasn't good.
No, UNLV.
UNLV was okay. And then you landed.
Nah, you know what though? I wanted to get out of LA to keep it 100 with you. I didn't want to be in LA.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I need to get out of here. If I go to USC or UCLA, homies is gonna be wanting to come to the game, party, kick it, and I couldn't focus on hoop and school. And that's what I needed. You know, so I was like, man, let me get out of here, get to Kansas. I ain't coming home.
Okay. So you go to Kansas, you play good, you number one, mm-hmm. you top 10 pick. You just missed falling out of the lottery, so you picked 10.
Yeah.
And now
projected number two though.
But you projected, but everybody projected something. Mm-hmm. We just talking about where you landed.
Right.
You go to Boston. When did you realize I'm the truth. I'm getting ready to make this happen.
Man, day one. I remember I got out there. We had a lockout year that first year. So by the time we get out there, it's January and February when the season about to start. We playing pickup games, Antoine Walker, Kenny Anderson. And I think if you want to establish yourself, you got to come in there day one. You know, it's almost like, I don't know, like that criminal that go to jail, he don't want to get ran over, so he established himself the first day. He getting there and look, ain't nothing about to be going down like that. So I was like, man, look, I ain't here to be no pushover. I'm here to be one of the guys. And I'm like that. And I established myself from day one, and they respected that. And, you know, they slowly started getting more confidence in me. And then by the time my third year came, I was ready to make an all-star team by my fourth year.
I wonder what is it with us LA dudes? We always gotta stop somebody at the door and let them know, no, man, we not having that.
That's just the environment we grew in, Key. You had to, you know the crazy thing, you had to grow up and you had to be hard because you was always, and what I mean by that, you had to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, you was always tested on the daily, like, you know, you be walking down the street, dude, like, where you from? I'm just walking down the street. Like, I can't go over here to the bus stop. Like,
yeah, that was the same thing when I got drafted to the Jets. And they wanted me to get in front of the team and sing the school fight song. I'm like, man, please, man. Fuck out of here with that.
Right.
No, I'm not, because I wasn't here for that. I'm here to try to win and do my job and do all that.
You didn't get hazed as a rookie?
No, we wasn't having it. No, they tried it, but you know your father. We're not, when I say no, it's over with. We're not going to play that with some of them over there. I'm not doing that. They was mad at me, but what could they do other than say, who this rookie think he is?
Nah.
And that's about it. So you got the nickname Truth. Who gave you that and how did it come about?
I got the nickname from Shaq, and I think it was my third or fourth year, maybe my fourth year. And I just dropped like 40 on the Lakers. We were like 42. In Staples? Don't look like that. Why you looking like that?
Because you said you got it from Shaq, and you said your third or fourth year. I'm like, Shaq didn't play with you to the end.
No, it was against him.
Oh, it was against him.
It was against him.
Okay, all right. Yeah, don't beat me up.
I'm saying you looking like I could drop 40 on them or something. Like, I was like in my third 40, so I dropped 40. Oh, it was my third year.
Okay.
Dunking on them. Threes, everything. You can look at the highlights. Go to YouTube if you don't know. But after the game, Shaq told one of the reporters from Boston, hey, you the motherfucking truth. He the motherfucking truth. He said it just like that. No edit, nothing. So the next day in the Boston paper, they put Paul Pierce the truth. So now I'm getting phone calls, people calling me the truth. And that from that point on, it just stuck. But, you know, it gave me confidence, though, after that, because I'm like, Shaq gave me the nickname. I got to roll with it. So now everybody started calling me the truth, and it stuck.
So outside of Boston,
yeah,
you like, obviously, Boston, your favorite place to play at home, all of that. What other cities, though, did you like to go to and not party or whatnot? Because we all like to go to cities and party. Uh-huh. Light it up.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Got to be a certain city, a certain stadium.
Man, I like all the cities that I light it up in, I like to hang out in. So like New York, Toronto,
comes with it,
Miami, right? LA. You know what I'm saying? You got to show out when you go to them cities, you know? Might be somebody watching, Key.
No, that's true. No, it's true. I never really looked at it from that standpoint because so many NFL teams are in small cities that don't really.
And we got to kick it after the game or the night or two before the game.
Don't get me started.
It was this different.
Don't get me talking.
We might right. Let me stop.
We got a chance to. It depends on the coach. Because some cities I stayed over while the team went back. I would stay into the tank. Yeah, because we would have Victory Monday. So we off on Mondays. I see y'all on Wednesday.
Oh, you just catch a flight home.
Oh man, I'm good.
I catch y'all.
Yeah, I catch y'all on Wednesday morning.
Right.
You know, right. That was a few cities. Yeah, for sure. I tell you a story. Paul, we playing Atlanta, the Falcons.
Yeah.
And this is the year we won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I had a party in Atlanta on a Friday. We play on Sunday. So me and a couple teammates, we jump on a PJ, we go to Atlanta and have a party at the Velvet Rope.
Wait. Where y'all playing at again? Y'all playing
in Atlanta on Sunday.
Get there early.
Yeah, we go in on Friday.
We go in on Friday,
we party. We party till the sun come up.
Right,
we fly back to Tampa Saturday morning.
Jump on a flight with the team.
Jump on a flight with the team.
And come back.
And all of us that was on that PJ,
man,
we ripped Atlanta heads off. We ripped them up. Like, literally.
That's a good story. That's a good story.
No, but it was crazy, though. Oh, it was crazy. You know back then how Atlanta was. It was
Players
pretty wild.
Club was popping. Club 112 was popping. Shark Bar.
All that. The Velvet Room. All of it.
Yeah, Atlanta was one of them ones.
And then talking about being in crazy cities and having issues and things that go on in your life, right?
Yeah.
So in Boston in 2000, you was out hanging out, chilling, playing pool, just being yourself. But you got into an altercation with somebody. You were stabbed 11 times, which was crazy. I was scared for you at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back at that, how did that impact you, even though you bounced back and you played all 82 games?
I mean, and whenever you go through a near-death experience, and it comes to the realization that you gotta enjoy the people that you love and the family and the friends that you enjoy, because it shouldn't have happened. I think it all happened. Like it happened, you know, it happened, Key, and I only remember, like, certain parts of it. Like, it had to be over a girl, obviously. Like, I was talking to a girl.
Always is.
You know, but I knew I wasn't disrespected. I was never disrespectful for a girl, but maybe I was talking to the wrong girl.
Yeah.
That, you know, somebody came behind that I shouldn't be talking to. I don't know the whole story because I got concussions and had to do surgery and my memory was, but I remember talking to a girl, next thing you know, I'm into it. But it's definitely a life learning situation, man, to where you just appreciate life a little different, and it helped me become more focused.
Yeah.
You know, just like, man, you know what? Man, I don't need to be out in these streets.
Yeah.
You know, I'm about to just be in the gym and focus on my hoop. And it changed my whole mentality. And that's why I was like, I'm going to be on the court. I'm going to recover. I'm going to get out there every day and do what I can. I wasn't supposed to be playing at the start of the season, but I was going through so much. I couldn't sleep, cold sweats, to where I got to be on the court. I had to talk to a psychiatrist for a few days. I was like, I'm tired of that. And I wore like a really, like a, some type of vest that I used to have to wear just to play in the game, just to prevent me from like, you know, I'm still the fresh wounds. The lacerations were still stitched.
Okay.
And so if you get hit or fall to the ground, you're going to feel it. So I had to wear a protective vest, but I wanted to be out there. And that's what made me just mentally stronger and mentally tougher, just going through that. And sometimes things happen for in your life for a reason. And you learn from it, and I'm glad I was able to live through it and move on from it. But it made me a better person, I know that.
So you and one of your former teammates, I like to call him Milk Dudhead because he got the, you know what I'm talking about,
ticket,
KG, the big ticket, because he got the chocolate Milk Dud ball head for as long as you can remember. So you and KG got a podcast together.
Yeah, yeah.
How does it feel to kind of, I don't know, reunite with him and be able to just talk about current events, past events, yeah, things of that nature?
Man, that's my dog. You know, it come off so natural. You know, when you know somebody and you having these conversations, this the same shit we talk about in the locker room.
Yeah.
When we just talking hoops or what's going on in the world. So it's easy. And it come off, you know, real authentic. And that's why I think people like listening to us, because we're not just bullshitting around. We really hollering. He really my boy. We really talk like this. Even when we not in front of the mic, we be in my backyard kicking it and talking the same way. And we just decided, you know, we're going to monetize this.
Can't get KG to go have a cup of coffee. He
he ain't leaving the house. He
won't
leave the house.
I don't know why, but he just, he's like I don't know what you call
man,
it.
He ain't leaving the house.
A house body, a home body, so to speak.
Super home body.
So in today's NBA, you sit around and you watch it and we watch it together and whatnot. What player in today's NBA reminds you of yourself?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe I'll say Jason Tatum. Mm. No, Jason
Tatum. Like no damn Jason Tatum?
I probably had more hops than Jason Tatum. You better go.
It's me.
Man, you crazy.
It's the truth, man.
Man, y'all better get y'all YouTube.
I didn't say nothing about him. I didn't say nothing about him.
He ain't start watching us until 2008.
Man, stop, man. I'm not saying he couldn't create his own shot. I'm not saying that.
Somebody go to YouTube and pull up Paul Pierce dunks.
Man, you was barely getting over the rim.
You crazy.
To be 6'7" and a half, you crazy. Was dunking,
I was dunking on everybody.
I don't need to see that man on highlights. But so it's Jason Tatum, huh?
Yeah.
Why?
He's smooth. I think I was a little more aggressive. You know, I posted up more and I got to the free throw line, but he's just smooth, you know. It looked effortless for him out there. So I say between him, I say a cross between Tatum and Jimmy Butler. Something like that.
I like that.
Something like that. Because, Jimmy got that toughness. I played with that type of edge, that type of toughness. And I had the smooth game like Tatum. So I say that, them two right there.
Tatum?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
And Jimmy Butler.
Remind me of you that in today's NBA.
And a little Luka Doncic. Sometimes a little slow, methodical, but I get to my spot. Yeah,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Ugly
something
ass,
like that.
High socks and moving. moving with the old man game.
No, but that was after 2008.
I'm not talking about the Clippers and the Wizards. I'm talking about with the Celtics. Pulled up a highlight.
I got you.
I was floating on everybody. Man, no.
I'm floating on people.
Oh, man, let me look.
I mean, he pulled you up. No.
Yeah, he helped you up. Look at that. You leaning on his body.
It's a foul, first of all. All right, here we go.
I believe you.
Let me see the fast break.
Man, watch out, dog.
That ain't really.
That ain't nothing.
That ain't really a Tatum.
It's good, though. You good, man.
This Negro that pulled up the highlights. Man, you're crazy as hell. Oh, man.
But speaking of Tatum, what do you think about the Celtics this year? Is this their year to break through for the championship?
I mean, it's got to be. They got the best record in the league. I think Tatum is in the MVP conversation. We probably the deepest team in the league. This got to be the year. I mean, this got to be the year. We tough at home. We tough on the road. This got to be our year. So I do believe the Celtics are going to win it all this year.
But you've been saying that for the
last... but it's different this year.
How?
It's different.
We've been 10 games
better than everybody on the East.
Y'all was 10 games better than everybody
last year. You add Porzingis, the unicorn, and Drew Holiday. That don't make a difference? You see it? You
defensively,
see it.
Drew going to make a difference.
Who could beat the Celtics in the East?
Yeah, who are the other contenders right now?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee can't beat us. The only team that's a threat is going to be Denver and maybe Miami.
Maybe Miami. Yeah, Miami's always the dark horse.
Why? Because they beat y'all last year?
Yep. And they the dark horse. They beat us last year.
So you don't care nothing about the fact that Giannis.
No, we ain't worried about
them. You're not worried about Giannis. You don't think he's going to crack Porzingis' ribs?
No, we ain't worried about them.
And then Dame Lillard, I know you think that Drew Holiday got his number or whatever the case is, but you know Dame could go for 50 at any minute.
That's cool. Dame is awesome. But that ain't happening versus top defense.
Okay, I'm just saying, Doc been there, done it.
I mean,
you still got a coach that in Mizzou who just, you know, second year. Even though this is his full year, he didn't get thrown into the mix.
I mean, it's just different. If we got home court advantage in the playoffs, we only lost two games at home this year.
Lakers. And who else?
Denver.
Yep. That game last night was in Atlanta.
Yeah, that was in Atlanta.
That was crazy.
Up 30.
So Atlanta got to them chicken wings. So who's the MVP in the NBA right now?
We ate too much lemon peppers.
who's the MVP right now? I know you say Tatum is in it.
He in there, but to keep it 100, it's either the Joker or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Because I didn't expect Oklahoma City to be this good. They number one, number two on the West all year long, and he's averaging 30. He don't even have a second All-Star. So it's one of them two. I think
they probably don't give it to the Joker, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's been dominant. He's been dominating, so they probably will give it to him.
Go ahead.
Who do you got winning Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year is easy, Wemby.
Wemby, yeah.
I mean, we ain't seen nothing like this ever, man. He out here just dunking on everybody, blocking shots, 20 and 10. Did we see this coming? I mean, we knew he was good, but I didn't know he was going to come in like this.
He got a lot of little man skills for big men.
Yeah, he's shooting threes, leading the league in blocks, averaging 20 and 10. I mean, the last player to do that, I think, was like Blake Griffin, maybe. I mean, yeah, Chet has been good in his own right, but 20 and 10, you know, it's an individual award. It's not a team award. Chet is on a better team, but this dude is just showing me too much out here.
So between the Warriors and the Lakers that you hate, even though you're from L.A., you hate the Lakers, you don't like the Lakers, you just, no matter what I say about the Lakers, you're going to say something negative. Who has a better chance to win the championship, the Lakers or the Warriors?
This year?
Yeah.
Probably Warriors.
Come on, man.
They just won it 2 years ago.
And the Lakers won it 3 years ago. And?
Not 4 years ago.
Or whatever, 4 years ago.
They traded everybody off that team.
But they still got LeBron and AD.
They old.
Just like the Lakers, just like Golden State still got their big three.
They old.
They old.
Who?
The Warriors.
You asked me, if you don't like my answer, you don't like my answer, why you ask?
Well, speaking of the Warriors, you recently said that Steph Curry is the most influential NBA player. Steph wins another ring, where is he ranked all time?
If Steph win one more ring?
Yeah, say he wins this year.
Woo, if Steph win this year, you got to throw him in the top five all time. I mean, that's no denying. If they win this year, Steph is top five all time they win this year.
So that'll be what?
That'll be five.
Five for him?
Yeah.
Where would you rank him
right
now?
He probably go ahead of Kobe.
So who you bumping?
You bump. All right, let me see who in my top five.
Yeah. You got to start with Kareem. Don't even have a conversation. You can't start with Kareem.
Kareem, Magic, Jordan, for sure.
Okay, so those three.
Kobe.
Four. So if you say he got five, he going in, then LeBron ain't in. Is what you getting ready to tell me.
LeBron in the top five.
So how can Steph be in the top five? Who you taking out? You're not taking Kareem and Jordan out. You're not taking Magic out. It's only two spots left.
You can't take Magic out?
Hell, are you crazy?
Damn.
A 6'9 guard right, running
Kobe,
the floor.
Kobe six. I mean, Curry six.
Okay.
Okay.
Or seven.
So who would be six?
Shaq.
No Bill Russell.
Bill Russell and Bird is like 8'9", round out to 8'9".
Okay. You do you.
And then, then you got Duncan right there.
I know, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just boring to me.
I mean,
I know he's accomplishments effective, all the whole deal. It was kind of just, you know, it's just like people get on me when I'm like, man, I'm not watching. I'm not going home to watch the Joker.
Right.
It's like the Joker to me is like a potato. You're just playing.
At the end of the day, Joker going to be one of them ones. Like Duncan. He in the same boat as Duncan.
I get it, but it's that potato that's plain, ain't got nothing on it. You know, we want a potato sour cream and butter and chives. Cheese. And we want all that. We want everything.
It ain't got
not just a normal potato, which is still good.
Right.
It's still good and it's healthy for you and you're going to buy it and all that. But I need some shit on top of mine.
Right, right.
So all right.
Well, Steve Kerr benched Steph Curry for most of the fourth quarter and limited him to 29 minutes in a must-win game on Sunday. Here's what he had to say after the game.
We can't expect to just ride Steph game after game after game. These last few weeks have been really tough. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. We can't expect him to play 35 minutes. We got 5 games in 7 days on this road trip, so... if you want to say that him playing 30 minutes instead of 32 is the difference in the win and the loss, I totally disagree with that. We're trying to win the game. We're trying to keep him fresh too.
So, Paul, do you think Steve Kerr made a mistake benching Steph?
I mean, it's always a fine line. I thought he sat him for too long. Actually, I mean, they was up about 4 points when they sat him, but then when you sit a guy who's older. Like 9-minute stretch, you know, it's tough to come back in there and get a rhythm. You know, I think you should sit him for like 4 or 5-minute stretches that. So I think, you know, I think he got some, he has to take the blame for some things out here. I mean, it can't just be always on the players every time. So this is your best player. You're obviously better when you're on the court, but when you sit him for 9 minutes, I mean, it's tough to win when the game in the balance.
But he does have a point though of just riding his back all the time, man.
Like, I mean, that's what you do with the stars. I mean, that's what the stars get paid for.
Older though, you got to let him rest up a little bit.
Like LeBron played 35 minutes a night.
I understand that LeBron needs to rest at some point. Yeah, and somebody else around y'all needs to step up.
You at the stage right now where you need wins, or y'all not gonna make the playoffs. Like you're supposed to think about that early in the season. Late, you got it's go time. Come on now.
So if you was him and he had you on the bench with that 9-minute mark, what are you going to do? Sit there?
Nah, I wouldn't sit there. I'd get up and I'm checking in.
How you going to check in? The coach not ready to put you in yet.
If we up 4 when I come out the game and I see the game, you can tell when it starts swinging. I'm not sitting for 9 minutes. Once I see we down 2 all of a sudden, I'm like 6 minutes rested. I'm ready, coach.
You just gonna let him know, like I'm getting ready.
I got him.
Yeah, that's Steph.
And then he just gonna
what you
say,
think, Steph Curry?
He's gonna say okay.
Yeah,
let you go. Oh no, I get it. I mean,
that's he a star, pretty a superstar.
Yeah,
y'all gotta have this.
Oh, absolutely.
You know 100%. What I'm saying? You know that. 100%. So if he feel like he ready and rested, he can go in the game.
I've had coaches try to take me out games, and
you like,
had to
no,
tell
I'm good, right?
Yeah, I'll let you know when I want to come out.
Right, right.
No,
exactly.
I get it. I just didn't know if that was the same way
in basketball.
That you would handle.
Yeah, for sure.
No, you, not basketball, just you.
I'm getting up. I'm going in.
Okay.
Yeah, come on now.
So, I know I was going in regardless. I might call timeout and go in on my – I done that before. I had to call timeout and say, no, man, hold on, man. We ain't calling that play.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you understand. I bet you was an alpha.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Timeout, coach.
Some cats, you know, they kind of like passive aggressive. That's, you know, that's how kind of Steph come off a little bit.
I mean, I remember we was playing one time and they wanted to sub me. I could see the dude coming in.
Yeah.
I told him, don't bring your motherfucking ass to this hub.
Get out of here.
Your motherfucking ass out.
And he I ain't went going back
to
nowhere.
The coach. He went back to the coach and he told me to get out the huddle. And I just ran the play.
Right.
Oh, well.
Right. You're funny. On the podcast, it is what it is. You stood on business with this statement. Let's play the clip.
Are you better than LeBron in your prime?
Any given day, I can be. Like, I'm a big reason he went to Miami. When I went for 41 in game 7, sent him home.
Now, hold on.
I can't get past these Celtics and Pete Pierce. Let me fly to
he
Miami.
He said he couldn't get past Paul.
I don't know if he said it, but that's
Yo,
what
listen,
I thought.
So let me.
Damn.
So, Paul, on this, we like to play a game called Facts or Fiction.
All right.
Is it facts or fiction that in the clutch, you were a better player than LeBron James?
Facts. Facts.
Dad, what do you think? It's facts.
Man, I'm not getting involved in this at all, to be honest with you. Paul know how I feel about him, and Paul knows how I feel about LeBron James.
Facts.
I could certainly say that, for the record, Paul Pierce stayed in Boston, for the record. That's all I can say. He didn't move around. He didn't do those. He didn't recruit anybody outside of KG and Ray Allen via trades. That's all I can say.
Yeah, true facts.
Okay. Paul, your Celtics Big Three is it's considered one of the greatest of all time. So here's a clip where you knew the Heat's Big Three was going to be a problem.
They said LeBron, Wade, and Bosh was on one team. I was like, what? Dad, you talk about our Big Three was cool. I was like, man, ain't nobody going to beat them. Mm. 1 year we went to Game 7 mm-hmm. with the Miami Heat.
Yeah. You guys are up in that series, though, right?
Yeah, we went up 3-2. Yeah. We was up 3-2 and then went home for the closeout.
Game 6. LeBron drops 45, one of his best playoff games ever.
I'm going to say this. I think that was one of the most defining games of LeBron's career.
Absolutely incredible.
He turned the corner that game. Because people was like, is he clutch? Is he this? Is he soft or that? But after that game,
there was no more question.
So, Paul, this might be a pretty hard question to answer, but how do you stop D-Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh?
Oh, no, that was tough. I ain't going to lie. I mean, when you look at it, you had LeBron, who arguably is the GOAT. You got D-Wade, who probably the third best two-guard ever, and Bosh was a perennial all-star all in their prime. You know, I knew they was going to be a problem. I knew once they teamed up that they was going to be a major problem, and that's why they won a couple championships, and they had one of the longest winning streaks. I think at one point they won like 30-something games in a row, maybe 28 in a row. Yeah, I knew there was going to be a problem because we was older already. They was in their prime.
Yeah, and that was already seasoned.
Yeah, we was already out the oven. We was already cooked.
did they though? When you look at it from my standpoint, did they underachieve though, based on the talent and everything?
I think they should have won 3 or 4. Like when you put that at that time, people was like, you forget what Bron say in the what'd he say?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I was kind of believing it. They could run them off. And they was relatively healthy.
And nobody else had 3 stars, huh?
Not at that level.
Y'all was older.
Yeah, we was older, but nobody had the big three.
Nobody had
Everybody
the big
had
three.
Like 2 stars.
2, yeah.
And so I thought they had run off
and
like 3 or 4.
Then you had those 3. Then they snatched Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, obviously hit that big shot against San Antonio. This conversation might be different.
I think based on where you rank LeBron and you rank Wade and where you put Bosh in all-time history, they might have underachieved. I just look at them that highly. That's why. I looked at that team that highly that they could have ran the table, like, with 4. Because they went to 4 finals.
They only got 2 of them.
And got 2 of them.
So they lost to Dallas.
And they lost to San Antonio.
San Antonio.
And then they beat OKC.
OKC and San Antonio.
In San Antonio. Yep.
Well, it's often said that Doc Rivers is coasting off the 2008 Celtics championship. JJ Redick called him out last month and said he's tired of his excuses. So, Paul, do you think this is Doc's last run as a head coach?
Nah, he just signed a 3-4-year deal. Doc, as long as he want to coach, he's shown he could be one of the best coaches of all time. You know, I think he will win another championship eventually, but this, what you have to realize and understand, it's hard to win a championship in the NBA. You know, it just shows you how hard it is. If you don't have the talent, you're not going to win. So, you know, but Doc is one of the best coaches in my eyes that's ever coached.
Yeah, he, you know, it's crazy because his teams are always around.
Mm-hmm.
And they always up. 3-1, 3-2, you know, whatever the number
is. Yeah, yeah.
And it just seems like something goes wrong for him.
So is that on the coach?
On the back end.
Or the players?
I would give credit to both.
Yeah.
It's 50-50. It's a combination.
But he's been on that side too many times, you're saying?
Yeah. But he's been on that side too many times with different teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he was on that side with the Celtics, just that was it, and that was the only team. But he's been in with the Celtics, the Clippers, the Sixers. And now you're getting ready, he take over a Milwaukee team mid-season, so to speak, for the beginning of the season, whatever the case is. and you still favoring Boston, even though he has the upper hand on an inexperienced coach versus his experience with players that got experience winning championships as well as playing in the postseason.
But you can't win in this league without the talent. You got to have the talent. It don't matter who the coach is. You can put whoever over there.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. That's not true. Because Spo do it, and he ain't got all the talent in the world.
They didn't win it all.
But they got there.
Yeah, of course. They got there. You can't win it all without the talent.
Well, they ain't had no Joker, number one, a year ago. Yeah. And then they ran up against the Lakers in the bubble. So that wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't going to happen. But Spo gets...
I mean, Spo is considered one of the great coaches of all time. Okay. I mean, but you know why? He had LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
But even when he doesn't have LeBron, Wade, but and
yeah,
Bosh,
he's showing he can coach. Yeah, he's showing he can coach. Man, that's the true sign of a great coach.
Man, dude been in the championship two other times without
six
him.
Times. Yep.
Without those three, he been to the championship two other times.
Yep.
That's the crazy part about it.
Mm-hmm. Without it.
So, Paul, you're a legendary trash talker. One of your most infamous in-game trash talks was against Al Harrington back in 2003. Watch this.
About a 2.5 second difference. They got it in Pierce's hand. Harrington talking to Pierce. And Joe DeRosa telling him to shut up. Pierce.
So, bad body. Get that bitch up.
Yeah. So, Paul, I've always been curious, though. What exactly did you say to Al Harrington before you dropped that three on him?
I don't even kind of remember. Yeah, it was in the heat of the moment. I probably talking about how you can't guard me and don't switch, or I don't know. It was definitely a lot of shit talking. That was a shit talk era, though.
Yeah.
That was still the shit talk era. You know, they don't talk no more. They dap hug and go out, exchange jerseys. We didn't do all that.
No,
it was the playoffs. I'll probably say I'm about to bust your ass or something like that. It had to be something like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't so nothing nice.
Keyshawn, I seen him and Al play in high school. Oh. Both of them.
Damn.
I know, right? That's crazy. I seen Al play in New York in Madison Square Garden when I was with the Jets. And I seen Paul when I was out here at USC when he was at Inglewood High School. We was trying to recruit him to USC, but that didn't work out.
They didn't have no bag.
Speaking of your era, Paul, who was the top five trash talkers?
Top five trash talkers got to be Gary Payton, Kevin Garnett. Damn. Jordan
and Kobe talked Jordan trash, huh?
I didn't play against Kobe enough, and we didn't guard each other enough. But Jordan, for sure. Jordan talk, man, he crazy. And he was in Washington when I played against him.
Oh, yeah, he had to watch.
But GP, like probably G, nah, nah. GP is a top notch. To me, GP. I mean, it don't get no worse than him. He the best trash talk ever. Because you could just see it on his face. He just, man, GP is top to me.
Yeah, trash talking is...
Yeah. Well, I saw you were able to confront Draymond Green on his viral "They Don't Love You Like That" trash talk from Draymond 7 years ago. Here. Do you feel like your Hall of Fame career is undervalued?
I don't think so. I made the Hall of Fame. What?
He did what? Draymond did what?
He trash talked me when I was on the bench for the Clippers.
Oh, well, that ain't... I would have trash talked you too.
Yeah, I'm on the bench.
I trash talked him all the time. Yeah. The Wizard years and them Clipper years.
Nah.
No, you keep that Paul Pierce. I don't need none of that in my life.
I liked Wizards Paul Pierce.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
He hit one shot that called game.
He hit a lot of shots.
And the playoff. You was done.
You crazy.
Brooklyn Paul Pierce was done.
Nah, I wasn't done in Brooklyn.
You was done.
I was balling in Brooklyn. You crazy.
He had a couple game winners in Washington.
And Brooklyn.
He was only Brooklyn for a year, though.
He stopped watching a year there and a year there.
I can't watch you in Brooklyn. How can I watch you in Brooklyn?
Right.
Come on, now. That's like Jordan with the Wizards. How can I watch that? Then at the Clippers, he was just hanging out to be in L.A. and be back at home and doing Doc a favor to bring some leadership. Draymond said something to you on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, what did he say? I don't remember.
He said they don't love you like that, like just saying that about Kobe and like how
they don't love you. You ain't getting no farewell tour. This is my last year to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it went viral too.
Oh no, see, I had the social media. Damn, he tried to come at you like that?
No, but I was talking to him first from the bench.
But the speakers picked up on it. So like everyone heard it.
My son be knowing all this.
Yeah.
He's good with that. I'm not up on that.
Yeah. So that's how it went. But me and him talked about it on the podcast. It was fun. It was good. It went viral. You know these kids today pick up on everything.
But you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
You in the Hall of Fame.
So top 75.
Hall of Fame. Mean? I mean, like at the end of the day, I'm in the Hall of Fame, man.
Right.
I ain't tripping. No, yeah. Okay.
All right, moving on to March Madness. After Kentucky lost to Oakland in the NCAA tournament, Jay Wright said the era of freshman dominating is over. Take a listen.
The era of taking these young freshmen and trying to play against older players is over. I think he did a phenomenal job with these guys all year, getting them to be as successful as they were. You can see they're playing against grown men. The guys on Kentucky will be far better pros than any of these guys on Oakland or any of these guys in the tournament. But they're not as good college basketball players. At this point in their career, they're not as disciplined yet as the guys from Oakland. And it's not Cal's fault. It's they're 18 years old, and they're in this era where everyone's telling them how great they are. Just show up in college and you're going to win. It doesn't happen that way. And the more the guys stay in college because of NIL, it's going to be tougher for young teams like this to be successful.
So, Paul, you played 3 years of college basketball at Kansas. Is the era of one and done over now that the NIL has kind of taken over?
I don't know. It depends on the type of money these kids is getting. You know, some kids is ready to stay in college and get that bankroll and then go to the league. But if you got an opportunity to go to the NBA after 1 year, you got to go. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. I don't think the era one and done is over. But, you know, Coach is right as far as these freshmen not being as good as these seniors in the NCAA tournament. And that's why you're seeing some of these top teams go down with these talented freshmen, because you got – underdog teams who got seniors who are grown men who are more developed than these guys. And so that's why, you know, you're seeing upsets across the board.
As somebody who has an NIL collective, Keyshawn, you can't make enough money in college to stay in school versus being drafted as a lottery pick in the NBA. Mm-hmm. The numbers, they make the numbers sound so crazy that you think everybody making all this money. That's not true.
But if you're a projected second rounder,
that's and different,
though. You're an NIL guy who making like that's different, $5 million.
Though.
That's different,
That's
right.
different, though. That's
Yeah,
that's
not
different.
Everyone's brawny, huh?
Yeah, right. but not only not brawny, when you become a first-round pick, there's only so many guys getting crazy NIL money. Everybody think because you're getting NIL money, you're getting $4 and $5 million. You're not making that type of money.
Right.
I'm paying these dudes with the collective, so I know what they make. Right. It's nowhere near what they report out there. Mm-hmm. It's not even close.
Right.
Well, we saw USC women's basketball just beat Kansas women's basketball.
Yeah,
but
I checked that out last night.
But who do you guys have winning your brackets, women and men's?
I hope USC win, truthfully. I love women. Juju. I like what she's been doing out there. She's been representing. And,
crib.
I seen her at Sierra Canyon. So I hope she pull one out, because she ain't really been getting the credit like some of these other girls, you know, like the Caitlin Clarks and Reese,
been in college.
Yeah, she's been in college.
They've
like
been in college.
Yeah,
it's her
Reese,
freshman year.
Yeah, she's killing.
Yeah.
So I like what Juju doing out there.
So Juju at SC, I got SC going. As far as the men go, be
UConn,
honest with you, who?
UConn.
Probably UConn. Yeah. At this point, whatever.
I'm watching more of the girls than the guys.
I watched the game last night.
Yeah.
I had the Clipper game on. I had the Philly game on. I think it was Philly. Clippers and Philly. And then I just slid away from them. Caught the second half, the third quarter, fourth quarter, USC. Then I went back to the Clips.
Okay. So a little throwback, Paul. I want to know what happened when in the playoffs you had to get in the wheelchair. Lots of rumors out there. Can you clear the air?
I was hurt. My knee was hurt. My knee was hurt.
He almost made me curse.
Come on. My knee was hurt. So I went back there, evaluated the knee, then came out and bust the Lakers' ass. So that's the quickest I can put it.
No, see, I
can't put it no quicker than that.
Somebody told me you had to go to the restroom.
Nah, ain't nobody say that. I joked about that long time ago. I ain't had to go to no. Why would I do that? Why would I do that?
Wheelchair, man. Come on,
I didn't pull it out. I didn't say go get the wheelchair. I need it. They came and brought it. What you want me to do? What you want? Hey, go get the wheelchair. Who does that?
I ain't never seen.
Who does that?
I ain't never seen.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Nobody does that.
I have never seen LeBron when he injured his ankle.
Nobody does. Nobody gonna ask for a wheelchair. I know, but they brought it out. I was like, sit down. I was like, all right, you know, don't put no pressure.
You could have very easily told him, Paul. Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna hobble this off. Then you gonna fake like you. And then gonna come out there and drop a few threes back to back. That wasn't like, come on, man. Wasn't nothing wrong with you.
I'm glad I gave y'all something to remember me by.
Where's the wheelchair?
It's at the crib.
You lying?
It's at the crib.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
The wheelchair. Yeah. At the crib.
Memorabilia.
Yeah, with the memorabilia.
I'm surprised they didn't put it in the Hall of Fame.
They might one day.
Well, man, I always have fun with you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt, you know, man.
That's my man, Paul Pierce, the truth.
Thank you.
Joining us on the pod. Appreciate everything.
All love, baby.
Thanks for watching All Facts, No Breaks, and my man, Paul Pierce, for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe all over the place, podcasts and everything else. Deuces.